Sumandiran.
Thank you, Honorable Deputy Speaker, for the opportunity to say a few words on the adjournment motion presented by the Janata Vimukthi Peramuna. This issue of abolition of executive presidency, as all the speakers before me have adverted to, has been there for quite some time. It has not just been there, but it has had the endorsement of our people at every presidential election. And so the mandate of the people to abolish executive presidency has been with us for quite some time. In fact, in 2015, when the presidential election was held, we thought the executive presidency as a system of government will be abolished very soon. But unfortunately, through the 19th Amendment, we were able to do only part of what needed to be done. And if one remembers the day 19th Amendment was passed, repeatedly, this House was assured that through a new constitution, whatever that couldn't be accomplished in the 19th Amendment would be addressed and accomplished. Executive presidency, or rather the abolition of executive presidency, is an important element of that. This has dragged for some time. Although in the process that we have to draft a new constitution for the country, we have in the interim report suggested that the executive presidency be abolished. In point of fact, at the in arriving at the interim report, in the committee discussions, there was a point at which all parties actually agreed to the abolition. However, subsequently, when political parties made their positions known on various issues, some of the political parties, namely Sri Lanka Muslim Congress, All Ceylon Makkal Congress, and the Tamil Progressive Alliance, made certain reservations with regard to the abolition of executive presidency. The very recent incidents that have happened in this country, I'm sure, have now caused those parties also to reconsider their position with regard to executive presidency. In fact, they have said so, and we should now, without any further delay, abolish executive presidency. But it is not only the abolition of executive presidency. The new constitution that has been promised must be brought. That's a promise to the people. And as an integral part of that, the abolition of the executive presidency also must happen. While the process to enact a new constitution was being delayed, we saw various other events overtaking us. And the conduct of the executive president himself is an important part of that. And so we are here today after almost 2 months of a constitutional crisis that was triggered off by the executive president. The executive president who purported to exercise powers which he did not have, perhaps laboring under the misconception or under wrong advice or the habit that had been formed by the Constitution as it obtained prior to the 19th Amendment, His Excellency the President made certain moves. On the 26th of October, first he purported to remove the Prime Minister in office and purported to appoint another in his place. Now that power that the President had prior to the 19th Amendment was specifically removed from the Constitution through the 19th Amendment. Article 47 enumerated as ABC three ways in which a sitting Prime Minister lost that post. 47A was if the President removed the Prime Minister from office. So the President was empowered to remove the Prime Minister from office. That clause, that Article 47A, or 47 rather, now finds place in the Constitution after the 19th Amendment as 46(2). As 46(2). And in 46(2), there are only two situations that are listed, instead of the three that was there prior to that. And the one that has been taken out or removed is the power of the President to remove a Prime Minister. So, in the 19th Amendment, quite clearly, the President's power to remove a Prime Minister at will was repealed, was taken out, and the President no longer has that power. Nevertheless, that act was done. This House, subsequently on the 14th of November, declared that act to be unconstitutional and illegal. Thereafter, His Excellency prorogued Parliament. He first named 16th of November as the date on which Parliament was to convene subsequent to prorogation. However, subsequently advanced the date to 14th November. But in the meantime, on the 9th of November, he issued certain proclamations. By a proclamation, he purported to dissolve Parliament. Now again, that was a power His Excellency the President had prior to the 19th Amendment. After the expiration of 1 year, if the previous Parliament hadn't been sooner dissolved, the President could dissolve Parliament after 1 year. But in the 19th Amendment, the situation changed drastically, and the power of the President to dissolve Parliament at will was circumscribed, was limited, was restricted, and he couldn't dissolve Parliament for a period of 4.5 years from the first sitting of a Parliament unless the Parliament itself, by a resolution adopted by 2/3, requested the President to do so. Now these are all very clearly spelt out in black and white. Unfortunately though, disregarding these clear and specific provisions that had been brought in by the 19th Amendment, His Excellency purported to dissolve Parliament. and several members of this House and other citizens challenge such act of the President in the Supreme Court. Now, that again was made possible because in the 19th Amendment, the immunity that had, the blanket immunity that the President had previously had been relaxed. And a citizen could invoke the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court by a fundamental rights petition against the official acts of the President. Now that is a application or applications that were heard by the Supreme Court eventually by a bench of 7 judges, and the unanimous conclusion of those 7 judges is that the President had violated the Constitution when he purported to dissolve Parliament before the expiration of a period of 4.5 years from the date of first sitting of this Parliament. During this process, many people made comments about the 19th Amendment to the Constitution, saying it was hurriedly brought, it was ill-conceived, badly drafted, etc. But if one reads the judgments of the Supreme Court, one can rest assured that there is no such thing. The 19th Amendment is lucid, clear, unambiguous, and had made deep inroads into the powers of the executive President, as promised to the people before His Excellency Maithripala Sirisena contested the 2015 presidential election. In point of fact, in November 2014, when Honorable Maithripala Sirisena addressed a press conference and declared himself to be the joint opposition candidate, the first time he made that declaration, he made 3 promises to the country. The first of those promises is that he would abolish executive presidency. That was the first promise. The second promise was that he would reform the parliamentary election system. And the third was that he would appoint Ranil Wickremesinghe as Prime Minister. Those are the 3 promises that candidate Maithripala Sirisena gave the people of this country in November 2014. And through the 19th Amendment, although we did make serious strides in the direction of abolishing executive presidency, in my opinion, Honorable Deputy Speaker, what we have today can hardly be called executive presidency if you compare it with what we had prior to the 19th Amendment. But unfortunately, no one quite appreciated what had been done through the 19th Amendment. There is very little that the President can do by himself after the 19th Amendment. Even with regard to governance, even with regard to his role in cabinet, his role with regard to appointment of ministers, assignment of subjects and functions, there is very little that he can do unilaterally or as he pleases. 19th Amendment has brought a situation where the President and the Prime Minister must work together. And if they don't, we would have a situation of standoff as we had. So 19th Amendment was only a stopgap, was only a initiative. It could only be something temporary until you did it in full. So if abolition of the executive presidency is a program, we've done halfway or maybe a little further than halfway, but it must be done in full. You can't continue with the 19th Amendment being part of our constitution for too long. We will face situations like we faced in the last month or so. So this must change. As Honorable Dr. Vikramaratna pointed out, there can't be two centers of power. Now we have under the 19th Amendment. And that must be rectified. And in rectifying that, we must give effect to the mandate that the people of this country had given this parliament. Not only to this parliament, they have been giving this mandate for quite some time, for 2 decades. But at least in this parliament, that must be accomplished. That must be honored. And abolition of executive presidency must necessarily form an important part of the new constitution that we enact in this parliament, or through a process of this parliament and a referendum. That too is a promise, and that must be accomplished. Many people think that the time has run out, the opportunity has been missed, that it is now not possible to enact a new constitution. I don't think so. I think the lessons that we learnt in the last 50 odd days will be useful in members of this house and the citizens of this country, the voters of this country, deciding on the enactment of a new constitution. The views of the country, the experience of this country over the last few days or last month or so should not be wasted, should not be in vain. There have been some sideshows also, and I'm sure the citizenry has watched those sideshows also. The sideshows are that in this whole process, anybody who does not belong to the majority community has no place or no role to play in the national life of this country. That is a not so subtle message that keeps getting communicated to the country. So for instance, if I, Subandhiran, plays a role with regard to these matters, that is a message that is given. Hidden behind that is the message, how dare he, a Tamil, play a role in the national life of our country? That's a question. Most often unarticulated question. Some articulate it also. And these sideshows have also been watched by our people. And our people, when I say our people, I particularly mean the majority community of this country, detest that kind of communalism that is being spewed out venomously by certain politicians. We've had not just these last 2 months' experience, we've had the experience of 3-decade-long bloody war in this country. No one wants to return to those days. And if that is to be achieved, then one must realize that every citizen of this country, whatever be his ethnicity, his language, where he lives, he has an equal stake in the affairs of this country. There is no second-class citizen of this country. All are equal is a proposition that I think our people have embraced, and they know the value of that. And that is why I say, when in these sideshows these attempts are made to whip up base communal feelings, our people will reject them. And reject they must. And when a new constitution is presented as, amongst other things, a solution to the national question, the Tamil national question that has plagued this country for 7 long decades, we will have a verdict from our people, not just from people who are numerically in the minority in this country, but from the majority community itself, rejecting these tribal, communal notions and endorsing that everyone in this country is equal and they must have due place and the facility to participate as an equal citizen in this country in all its affairs. You cannot be said to be disabled if you are a Tamil or a Muslim or a Christian or a Hindu. Somehow inferior. Numbers don't give you status. Numbers don't give anyone any higher status. It is the commitment of a person to that country that gives him status. Our people have repeatedly, through democratic elections, informed this country that we are willing to live within a united and undivided, maybe even an indivisible country. And that therefore, the others must acknowledge that readiness, must clasp that hand that has been stretched out by us. But if you don't do that, if anybody tells me I have no place to play a role in the national affairs of this country, that person cannot tell me that I must remain in this country. If I am not an equal citizen of this country, I cannot be held by force to be a citizen of this country. I would have every right to demand that I go my separate way. So the choice is that of the majority community. We have said very clearly what our position is. And by our acts and deeds, even in the last few days, we have shown that we are willing to participate and live as full citizens of this country. The choice is with those who don't want to accept that offer. They are the ones who will be responsible if the country doesn't progress, if it regresses. And so on this opportunity, when we discuss the very important issue of abolition of executive presidency, Mr. Deputy Speaker, I want to bring to the attention of this House and the country that must be a necessary part of the new constitution that we make, because the constitution is a social contract between the peoples who live in this country. So far, we have not had a social contract to which all the peoples of this country have consented to. And we still have that opportunity. Time may be short, but quite sufficient for us to do that. And I appeal to all that we don't squander that opportunity, that we use that opportunity, that we abolish executive presidency and make a new constitution for the country where all the people will be equal and share power in an equal way. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Rauf Hakim. Before that, Honorable Deputy Chairman of Committee, will take the chair.
Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Gaurava Pradikulukalin Tavisala Ravale. Tangal Sabana Rasratile, Irikunda Samayatile. இன்று ஜேவிபி கட்சியினர் முன்மொழிந்து வழிமொழிந்து இருக்கிற இந்த பிரேரணை குறித்து ஒரு சில வார்த்தைகள் பேச கிடைப்பதையிட்டு நான் மகிழ்வுறுகிறேன். அதே நேரம் இந்த நாட்டின் அரசியலிலே ஒரு புதிய கொந்தளிப்பு நிலையை உருவாக்கி இன்று பாராளுமன்றம் அமைதியாக கூடுகிற ஒரு சூழலை 51 நாட்கள் எங்களையெல்லாம் அல்லோல கல்லோலப்படுத்திவிட்டு அமைதியாக மீண்டும் அரசாங்கம் ஒன்றை முன்னெடுத்து செல்லுகிற ஒரு வாய்ப்பு ஏற்பட்டிருப்பதை இட்டு இந்த போராட்டத்திலே எங்களோடு இணைந்து கொண்ட சகல கட்சிகளுக்கும் சிவில் சமூக அமைப்புகளுக்கும் ஏன் இந்த நாட்டின் ஜனநாயகத்தை பாதுகாக்க வேண்டும் என்று போராடிய சகல பொதுமக்களுக்கும் எங்களுடைய மனமார்ந்த நன்றியறிதலை முதல்கண் சமர்ப்பணமாக நான் செய்து வைக்க விரும்புகிறேன். Mr. Deputy Chairman of Committees, today we are discussing this motion that pertains to the question of the abolition of the executive presidency. Since 1982, successive presidential candidates have campaigned for a mandate to abolish this executive presidency. Every one of them have also succeeded in breaching that mandate and attempting to contest a subsequent presidential election, as well as one president quite recently brought about the 18th Amendment to perpetually remain the president of this country. So the lure, the greed to retain power, particularly executive power, is such that everyone who promised to abolish the presidency succeeded in not abolishing it, but doing the reverse by attempting to retain it and contest it once again, as well as to attempt to be in office perpetually. So that is the history of the abolition of the executive presidency in this country. Now, more particularly, on two occasions where the directly executive president could not control parliament and a different party came to power in parliament, it resulted in serious duality in power. There had been two centers of power. We experienced this between 2001 and 2004, where Her Excellency Chandrika Bandar Nayaka Kumaratunga, who was elected to her second term, had to survive with a hostile parliament where the current Prime Minister had the control of parliament. And I was a central figure in that drama, since she lost power in parliament because she expelled me from cabinet and I had to cross the floor of this house, and within 5 months of my going to the opposition, the government lost its majority and she had to dissolve parliament. In the subsequent election, we joined the United National Party as a constituent party of the then United National Front coalition, defeated Her Excellency the President's party, the People's Alliance, and formed the administration. So that period between 2001 and 2004, there was an attempt to survive as a cohabitation government. That experience resulted in serious policy differences between the two sections, particularly the executive president, her party, and those who represented her in parliament, as well as the party which had the majority in parliament, that of the Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe, who had to be sent out of power in the election in 2004. So this experiment of cohabitation between two centers of power when they are from different political parties is something that we are experiencing now. Once again, I am in this whole drama another central figure by being on the side of Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe, whereas we elected His Excellency Maithripala Sirisena on a common platform with variety of different partners, both directly and indirectly. The Janata Vimukti Peramuna also joined in the struggle to unseat His Excellency Mahinda Rajapaksa for the very reason that he wanted to perpetuate his power by bringing the 18th Amendment and arrogate to himself all executive power in one single office, which became a serious threat to parliamentary democracy in the country. His Excellency Maithripala Sirisena contested the election on a platform of totally abolishing the executive presidency and with a promise not to seek office once again. But however, his actions for the past 1 year or more has convinced all of us that he is seeking to renege the promise he made to the people, and whether directly or indirectly is attempting to seek power again by wishing at least to become a candidate in the next election. Now, yesterday we had a massive rally in the Goldfields Green, perhaps one of the largest rallies that this country ever saw. The people turned up to celebrate the restoration of democracy in the country, since they saw the attempt by the purported government that was installed wrongfully, unconstitutionally, by His Excellency the President in the October 26th swearing-in ceremony. So we have seen quite interestingly the swearing-in ceremonies of prime ministers being done in secret, without media being present, twice. One to install Mahinda Rajapaksa as the prime minister, and the other to swear in Ranil Wickremesinghe as prime minister. Be that as it may, today we are grappling with the situation of whether we should continue with this dual centers of power, and that it is totally unsuitable for the country's democracy. But little forgetting that the electoral systems in the country too plays a role in this. That is why we minority parties were quite keen that we should address the issue of the electoral system as well, together with the abolition of the executive presidency. Yesterday, the Prime Minister was seen to suggest that he wants a two-third majority to abolish the executive presidency and install a parliamentary system of governance after removing the executive presidential system. Whereas his deputy leader, Sajith Premadasa, very openly said that we must contest and we must carry on this government up to next October or September, the full term of His Excellency the President, and conduct the next presidential election and then attempt to win that election. So the United National Party itself appears to be having two points of view. And this is a question of some confusion for some of us who are in this coalition. So it is important for us to address that issue. So we need to resolve serious political questions about the electoral system. None of us are in favor of abolishing the current electoral system for the reason that we've experienced the worst in the local government elections, as well as the attempt to change the electoral system, the provincial council. We are now 6 provincial councils, no elections have been held. And the delimitation committee's report has been rejected by this parliament, by even the minister who brought the
system voting against it.
That was the comedy of errors that we saw being staged in Parliament. So therefore, there is a dilemma here. Of course, Janata Vimukti Peramuna wants the executive presidency abolished for the right reasons. But then, we cannot divorce it from the entire constitution and the need to change other things. What about the devolution aspect? And we must also remember that abolishing of the executive presidency cannot be done without a referendum. Because there are entrenched clauses that needs to be changed, and that will certainly attract a referendum, and the Supreme Court will no doubt rule that this question cannot be decided by this parliament alone by a two-third majority. It has to be subjected to a referendum. So if a referendum is to be won, all sections of the country have got to be convinced that we do not want such a system. So people are not interested in piecemeal tinkering with the constitution. What we want is an overall constitutional reform which will replace the constitution with a new system by addressing every issue of contention. That is why we appointed a steering committee, and the steering committee's report has been finalized and we have tabled it in Parliament, and we were to debate it, and we have perhaps come to some understanding with the Tamil National Alliance that by February that we will introduce it to Parliament to attempt to see whether we can have an endorsement of that with a two-third majority in this House. But there are different points of view. We need to look at whether we can introduce changes to the Constitution, you see, with an agreement by all parties. Because everybody now, JVP doesn't want the executive presidential system. Some of you want to change the electoral system. Some have issues pertaining to the devolution aspects of the Constitution. His Excellency the President seems to be having serious reservations about the appointment of judges through the Constitutional Council. Having voted for it, having approved it, is now beginning to complain that the senior-most judges don't get appointed since the Constitutional Council is not looking at seniority. Now, this is one of those complaints that he sought to make when we were summoned to meet with him when the Prime Minister was sworn in. Everybody listened to what he said. So, now there is an issue concerning three political leaders in the country. One is Maithripala Sirisena, other is Ranil Wickremesinghe. Thank you. Another is the Honorable Mahinda Rajapaksa. The three political leaders are looking at their political future. So this constitution, the abolition of the executive presidency or reintroducing the Westminster system cannot be designed for the whim and fancy of these three individuals. The constitution of this country is not the property of Ranil Wickremesinghe, of Maithripala Sirisena, or Mahinda Rajapaksa. That's an eternal document. That's a sacred book in which this entire country, upon which this entire country's governance is conducted. So therefore, now what is the problem? Now His Excellency Mahinda Rajapaksa wishes to abolish the executive presidency because he cannot contest the next executive presidency. It's an issue for him.
Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe is a leader who doesn't believe in emotional, sentimental propaganda or irrational campaign to mislead the masses. So he sometimes, no, he has not himself contested the last two presidential elections. But then he feels that since he's a political leader who appeals to the intelligentsia of the country, but cannot conduct an emotional, sentimental or irrational campaign, so he has always opted to let others contest for the presidential election. So he has an interest in restoring parliamentary democracy back, and so that he can get himself re-elected to parliament and then control executive power through parliament without an executive presidency as a different center of power. And His Excellency Maithripala Sirisena, having promised the country that he is going to abolish the executive presidency, now wants perhaps to look at the second bite of the cherry, as we call it, to try and contest the executive presidency once again, having promised to the country that he will not seek re-election. So this question cannot be decided on the whim and fancy of individual political leaders, but we have got to look at how the governance have been impacted by having dual centers of power, whether we are able to have proper separation of powers in the context of the executive presidential system. Certainly we saw during the last 51 days, the experience of this country was such that an irrational and emotional, sentimental president who is hell-bent on trying to interpret the Constitution to his own convenience can seriously jeopardize governance in the country. That is what we experienced. Seven judges of the Supreme Court of this country unanimously held that the constitutional provisions had been violated in removing the, installing a prime minister, in dissolving parliament. We have, I beg your pardon, in the question of installing the prime minister, it was a court of appeal. Then the Supreme Court, in a unanimous verdict, held that the dissolution of parliament was unconstitutional. And with that became, at least indirectly, the issue pertaining to the majority of parliament deciding the fate of Prime Minister was put to rest. So all these complications arise out of this particular issue in the way, if we are to say in Sinhala language, api Sinhala kiyenawa nan me giya davas 50 ka me aragale api kawuru dakke meke pradhanathma naluwa hatiyata ape janadhipathumange e utsahaya atta wasin kiyenawa nan natapu toyilakut naha bere paluwakut naha kiyana tattwayekata wetunai kiyana ekai api dakke hari edavin apita sidu wenawa me oh ekai dan iting mehemane you attempt now it's a sour grape story, right? You try to grab power through the back door, and at least through the front door you have come and taken the opposition leader's position. But never try it through the back door. You try to grab power of prime ministerial office through the back door. Now you have come through the front door, taking the... But out of your advice, see, the former president, I hope he will not become the former member of parliament. I mentioned this morning, there is a serious issue about, let alone being the opposition leader, whether he is a member of parliament has to be decided by a select committee of this house, ultimately. You see, no, ambitious or not, I am not being personal here. I have my deeper respect for the former president. But the question I told him when I met him after this crisis, as to why was he in such a haste? If some of you have pushed him into a serious political debacle, man who was riding the high wave of popularity has compromised his popularity unnecessarily, trying to grab power through the back door to satisfy a few of you who had misled him. That is his fate. I hope he will see some saner counsel soon and be resigned to his fate as an opposition leader in the coming years to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Uday Kambambla.
Garu Mulasana Aruda, Garu Niyojya Karaka Sabha Sabhapatitumani, Paugiya Arbuda Samaye, Janata Vimukti Perumune Mantrithumalla Kiwwe Apita, Me Arbude Avasan Unu Wahama, Parlimentuwa Visuruwa Harime Yojanawak, Etumalla Me Garu Sabhawata Genawa Kiyala. Habai අර මහින්ද රාජපක්ෂ මැතිතුමාට එරෙහිව විශ්වාසභංග යෝජනාවක් ගෙන ඒමට තිබුණු උනන්දුව ඒ දුන්න පොරොන්දු ඉටු කිරීමට නැති බවයි ඒ කිව් දේ වෙනුවට විධායක ජනාධිපති ධූරය අවෝසි කිරීම පිළිබඳ මේ යෝජනාව ගෙන ඒමෙන් පේන්නේ. ගරු මුලාසනාරූඪ මන්ත්‍රීතුමනි මේ 20 වන සංශෝධනයේ සහ විධායක ජනාධිපති ක්‍රමයේ පිළිබඳ පසුගිය කාලයේ පුරාවට අපි ඇතිතරම් කතා කරා ඇතිතරම් ලිව්වා ඇතිතරම් වාද විවාද කළා ඒ නිසා මම කැමති විධායක ජනාධිපති ක්‍රමය අහෝසි කිරීමට මේ තිබෙන්නා වූ හදිස්සියේ යටි අරමුණු මොනවාද කියන එක ගැන මේ ගරු සභාවේ අවධානය යොමු කරන්න. අපි දැක්කා මේ ආණ්ඩුවට තියෙන ලොකුම බය තමයි මහා ජනතාවට මුහුණ දීමේ බය. අර බල්ලට ජලබීතිකාව හැදෙනවා වගේ එක්සත් ජාතික පක්ෂයට ජනබීතිකා රෝගය හැදිලා තියෙනවා. ජලබීතිකාව හැදුණු බල්ලා ජලය දැක්කම බය වෙනවා වගේම ජනබීතිකාව හැදුණු එක්සත් ජාතික පක්ෂය ජනතාව ඉදිරියට යන්න හරි බයයි. මුලින්ම විධායක බලය පාවිච්චි කරලා සීමා නිර්ණය වාර්තාවකට මුවා වෙලා පළාත් පාලන මැතිවරණය වසර 3කින් කල් දමා ගත්තා. ඊළඟට ව්‍යවස්ථා දායක බලයට මුවා වෙලා පාර්ලිමේන්තුවේදී පළාත් සභා මැතිවරණ පනත සංශෝධනය කරලා පළාත් සභා මැතිවරණය දින නියමකින් තොරව කල් දමා ගත්තා. ඊළඟට අධිකරණ බලයට මුවා වෙලා අධිකරණයට පෙත්සම් ගහලා අපි ලබා දුන්නු පාර්ලිමේන්තු මැතිවරණයත් අහෝසි කරගත්තා. මේ සියල්ල කරගත්තත් අහෝසි කරගන්න බැරි මැතිවරණයක් තියෙනවා. ඒ තමයි 2019 ඔක්තෝබර් මාසයේදී ප්‍රකාශ කිරීමට නියමිත ජනාධිපතිවරණේ සීමා නිර්ණය දාලා පුංචි ඡන්දේ කල් දැම්මට සීමා නිර්ණය දාලා පළාත් සභා මැතිවරණේ කල් දැම්මට සීමා නිර්ණය පෙන්නලා පාර්ලිමේන්තු මැතිවරණේ කල් දාන්න ව්‍යවස්ථා කිටුම්පතක් හදලා ඉදිරිපත් කළාට සීමා නිර්ණය මත ජනාධිපතිවරණයක් කල් දාන්න බෑ. ඇයි? ජනාධිපතිවරණයේදී මේ සමස්ත ශ්‍රී ලංකාවම එකම මැතිවරණ කොට්ටාසයක් වන නිසා ඒක ඇතුලේ සීමා නිර්ණයක් නැහැ. ඒ නිසා තමයි සීම කල් දමා ගන්න බැරි නම් ජනාධිපතිවරණේ අහෝසි කරලා හරි ජනතාව ඉදිරියට යෑමට තිබෙන අවස්ථාව මගහරවා ගැනීමේ කූට වෑයමක වර්තමාන ආණ්ඩුව ජනතා විමුක්ති පෙරමුණේ සහයෝගයෙන් යෙදිලා ඉන්නේ කියන එක අපි මේ රටේ ජනතාවට සිහිපත් කරන්න ඕනි. අපිට මතකයි අපේ ගරු සභානායක ලක්ෂ්මන් කිරියල්ල මැතිතුමා නිරන්තරයෙන් කිව්ව කාරණයක් තමයි 2025 වෙනතුරු අපි තමයි බලේ ඉන්නේ. 2025 නෙවෙයි 2055 වෙනතුරු බලේ හිටියට අපිට කිසි ප්‍රශ්නයක් නැහැ. මැතිවරණ තියලා ඒව දිනලා ඒ ප්‍රජාතන්ත්‍රවාදී ක්‍රමයට අපි ගරු කරනවා. මැතිවරණ කල් දමලා මැතිවරණ නැති කරලා තමයි බලේ ඉන්නේ. හැබැයි ඒකට තිබෙන ලොකුම බාධාව තමයි ජනාධිපතිවරණේ. අන්න ඒ නිසා ජනාධිපතිවරණේ අහෝසි කරගැනීමේ උවමනාවක් එක්සත් ජාතික පක්ෂයට තියෙනවා. ඇයි මේකට ජනතා විමුක්ති පෙරමුණ කරගහන්නේ? ජනතා විමුක්ති පෙරමුණටත් ලොකු ප්‍රශ්නයක් තිබෙනවා. ජනතා විමුක්ති පෙරමුණට දේශපාලන ඉතිහාසයේ තියෙන ලොකුම ඇනේ තමයි ජනාධිපතිවරණේ. පුංචි ඡන්දයේදී හොඳ ඡන්දයක් ගන්නවා. පළාත් සභා මැතිවරණයේදී ඒක වර්ධනය කරගන්නවා. ඊළඟට පාර්ලිමේන්තු මැතිවරණයේදී තවදුරටත් වර්ධනය කරගෙන පාර්ලිමේන්තුවේ දුරස්ත පාලකයේ වීමේ සිහිනය ජනතා විමුක්ති පෙරමුණ වැළඳ ගන්නවා. හැබැයි පළාත් සභා මැතිවරණයයි පාර්ලිමේන්තු මැතිවරණයයි අතර මැදට පනිනවා හෙන උරා. කවුද? ජනාධිපතිවරණි. ජනාධිපතිවරණ කියන්නේ ප්‍රධාන අපේක්ෂකව දෙන්නෙක් අතර තරඟයක්. මේකෙදි මේ තුන්වන පාර්ශ්වවලට ඡන්ද ලබා ගන්න දුෂ්කරයි. ජනතා විමුක්ති පෙරමුණ පළාත් සභා මැතිවරණවල ගන්න ඡන්දවලින් 50%ක් විතර තමයි ජනාධිපතිවරණෙක් ගන්නෙ. ඒ නිසා ජනාධිපතිවරණ කියන්නේ ජවිපෙට තිබෙන ලොකුම ඇනේ. මූණ දෙන්න බැරි දුෂ්කරතම අවස්ථාව. 1982 ජවිපේ නිර්මාතෘ රෝහණ විජේවීර මැතිතුමා ජනාධිපතිවරණයට ඉදිරිපත් වුණා. 273,000 ඡන්දෙ ගත්තේ. ඊළඟට 1988 ජනාධිපතිවරණේ වර්ජනය කරා. 1994 චන්ද්‍රිකා මැතිණියට සහය දුන්නා. 1999 ආපහු තරම් කරා. ඡන්ද 350,000ක් වගේ ගන්න පුළුවන් වුණේ. ඊළඟට ආයිනම් ඡන්ද තරම් කරේ නැහැ. 2005 මහින්ද රාජපක්ෂ මැතිතුමාට, 2010 සරත් ෆොන්සේකා මැතිතුමාට, 2015 මෛත්‍රීපාල සිරිසේන මැතිතුමාට සහය දී හිටියා. දැන් සහය දෙන්න ගිහිල්ලා වෙච්ච දේවල් දිහා බැලුවම ජනතා විමුක්ති පෙරමුණට ජනාධිපති වර්ණයේදී ප්‍රධාන අපේක්ෂකට සහය දෙන්න බෑ. දැන් අලි අමාරුවක වැටලා තියෙන්නේ. වර්ජනය කරන්නත් බෑ, තරඟ කරන්නත් බෑ, සහය දෙන්නත් බෑ, කරන්න විකල්ප ඉතිරි වෙලත් නැහැ. එහෙනම් ජනතා විමුක්ති පෙරමුණට අද ජනාධිපති වර්ණයේ සම්බන්ධයෙන් ගත හැකි එකම විකල්ප වෙලා තියෙන්නේ මේ මල ඇනේ අවෝසි කර ගැනීම පමණමයි. එහෙමනම් විධායක ජනාධිපති ක්‍රමය අවෝසි කරලා මොකද්ද ගේන්න හදන්නේ? මේ පාර්ලිමේන්තු ක්‍රමය කියන හැම රටේම පාර්ලිමේන්තු තියෙනෝනේ. වෙස්මිනිස්ටර් ක්‍රමය කියන ව්‍යවස්ථා දායකයේ ඇතුළෙන් විධායකයේ බිහි කර ගැනීමේ ක්‍රමය. ගරු මූලාසනාරූඪ මන්ත්‍රීතුමනි, 1215 මැග්න කාටා කියන ගිවිසුම එංගලන්තේ බිහිවීමෙන් තමයි මේ පාර්ලිමේන්තු ක්‍රමය පළවෙනි වස්තු බීජය ඇති වෙන්නේ. එතන ඉඳන් එංගලන්තේ ප්‍රභූවරුන් රජතුමත් එක්ක කර නිරන්තර බලාරගලයේ ප්‍රතිඵලයක් විදිහට ක්‍රමානුකූලව රජතුමාගේ බලය අගමැතිවරයා ප්‍රමුඛ ඇමති මණ්ඩලයට ගියා. අවසානයේදී සිද්ධ වුණේ රජතුමා නාවික චරිතයක් බවට පත් වුණා. අගමැති ප්‍රමුඛ ඇමති මණ්ඩලයට සම්පූර්ණ විධායක බලය ලැබුණා. මේ වෙස්මිනිස්ටර් ක්‍රමය තමයි ලෝකයේ පුරා රජවරුන් ඉතුරු වෙලා ඉන්න පෘතුගාලය, ස්පාඤ්ඤ, ජපානය, තායිලන්තේ මේ හැම රටකම ක්‍රියාත්මක වෙන්නේ. බ්‍රිතාන්‍යය තමන්ගේ යටත් විච්වලට නිදහස ලබා දෙද්දී තමන්ගේ වෙස්මිනිස්ටර් ක්‍රමය ඒ රටවලට හඳුන්වලා දුන්නා. අපි තණ්හානුකාරයෙන් මේ යටත් විච්ව මානසිකත්වයෙන්ද මේ ක්‍රමයේ පිටිපස්සෙන් ගමන් කරනවා. මේක ලෝකයේ තියෙන නොදියුණුම ක්‍රමයක්. මේක එංගලන්තේ රජාව තමන්ගේ ව්‍යවස්ථා ආකෘතිය තුළ ඔබා ගැනීමට හදාගත්ත ක්‍රමයක්. එහෙම මිසක් ජනතාවාදී ක්‍රමයක් නෙවෙයි. අද ලෝකයේ තියෙන ජනප්‍රියතම මැතිවරණ රාජ්‍ය ව්‍යුහයේ ක්‍රමය වන්නේ විධායක ජනාධිපති ක්‍රමය මිස අන් කිසිවක් නොවේ. විධායක ජනාධිපති ක්‍රමය ලෝකයේ රටවල් 95ක තිබියදී වෙස්මිනිස්ටර් ක්‍රමයේ තියෙන රටවල් 44ක පමණයි. ඒ වගේම ලෝකයේ ප්‍රවණතාවය වෙලා තියෙන්නේ වෙස්මිනිස්ටර් ක්‍රමය අත්හරිමින් විධායක ජනාධිපති ක්‍රමයට අනුගත වීමයි. ලෝකයේ විධායක ජනාධිපති ක්‍රමය නම් ජනප්‍රියම ක්‍රමය. ලෝකයේ රැල්ල තියෙන්නේ විධායක ජනාධිපති ක්‍රමයේ වැළඳ ගැනීමට නම්. ඇයි මේ ලංකාවේ විතරක්? ගරු මුලාතරණ මන්ත්‍රීතුමනි, මං හිතා විනාඩි 10ක් වුණා, හතරට පටන් ගත්තොත් හතරට විනාඩි 5ක් තියලා පටන් ගත්තේ. හරි, මට විනාඩි 3ක් දෙන්න, මයික්මන ඉවර කරන්න. එහෙමනම් මං කියන්න උත්සාහ කරේ මේක මෙතරම් ජනප්‍රිය, ලෝකේ පුරාම ජනප්‍රිය මේ ක්‍රමය ලංකාවේදී විතරක් එපා කියන්නේ ඇයි? විධායක ජනාධිපති ක්‍රමය අහෝසි කරනු කියන සටන් පාඨේ සමස්ත ලෝකෙම ලංකාවේ විතරක් තිබෙන්නේ ඇයි? විධායක ජනාධිපති ක්‍රමයේ පීඩාකාරී නම්, විධායක ජනාධිපති ක්‍රමයේ මර්ධනකාරී නම්, එයින් වඩාවත්ම පීඩාවට පත්ව තිබිය යුත්තේ ඇමරිකාවයි. ඇමරිකාවේ විධායක ජනාධිපති ක්‍රමය මේ වන විට වසර 230ක් ක්‍රියාත්මකයි. ඇමරිකාවේ විධායක ජනාධිපති ක්‍රමය අහෝසි කරනු කියලා උද්ඝෝෂණයක් තබා කෙඳිරිල්ලක්වත් නැහැ. ඇයි ඒ? අපේ රටේ ප්‍රශ්නේ තමයි විධායක ජනාධිපති ක්‍රමය ක්‍රියාත්මක කරලා තියෙන ආකාරය වැරද්ද. එහෙම මිසක් විධායක ජනාධිපති ධූරයේ වැරද්දක් නෙවෙයි. දැන් අපේ ජයම්පති වික්‍රමරත්න මැතිතුමා මතක් කරා ආචාර්ය එන්.එම්. පෙරේරා මැතිතුමාගේ 1978 ආණ්ඩුක්‍රම ව්‍යවස්ථාව පිළිබඳ විවේචනාත්මක විශ්ලේෂණයක් කියන පොත් පිංච. ඒ පොතේ 78 ව්‍යවස්ථාව විවේචනය කරලා තියෙනවා. 78 ව්‍යවස්ථාව විධායක ජනාධිපති ක්‍රමයේ විකෘතියක් කියලා අපිත් පිළිගන්නවා. අපි කියන්නේ ඒ නිසා මේ විධායක ජනාධිපති ක්‍රමය සැබෑ විධායක ජනාධිපති ක්‍රමයේ ක්‍රියාත්මක කිරීම සඳහා 78 ව්‍යවස්ථාව නිසි අයුරින් සංශෝධනය කරන්න ඕනි. අපේ ජනාධිපතිවරයා පාර්ලිමේන්තුවට වග කියන්නේ ඇමරිකාවේ ජනාධිපතිවරයාව සෙනෙට් කමිටු වලට කැඳවලා ප්‍රශ්න කරන්න පුළුවන්. එතකොට ඇමරිකාවේ ජනාධිපතිතුමා දන්නවා තමන් ගන්න තීරණයක් සෙනෙට් කමිටුව මගෙන් ප්‍රශ්න කරන්න ඉඩ තියෙනවා. මම තාර්කික තීන්දුව වලට එළඹෙන්න ඕනි, සාක්ෂි සහිත නිගමන වලට එළඹෙන්න ඕනි, ප්‍රශ්න කරොත් මට උත්තර දෙන්න පුළුවන් වෙන්න ඕනි. ඒ වගේම ඇමරිකාවේ ජනාධිපතිවරයා අධිකරණයට ගෙනියන්න පුළුවන්. මෑත කාලේ අපි දැක්කා බිල් ක්ලින්ටන් ජනාධිපතිතුමා ජනාධිපති ධූරයේ ඉන්නකොට තමන්ට ලිංගික හිරියර කළාය කියලා මොනිකා ලෙවින්ස් කියලා පෝලා ජෝන්ස්ලා ජනාධිපතිතුමාව අධිකරණයට ගෙනියලා ප්‍රශ්න කෙරෙව්වා. ඒ නිසා එවැනි ක්‍රමයක් අපේ රටේ ඉඩ නැහැ. මෙතුමාලා 19 සංශෝධනයෙන් ජනාධිපතිවරයාට ලබා දීලා තියෙන මුක්තිය ඉවත් කරනවා කිව්වට ඒක සිද්ධ වුණේ නැහැ. ඒ වගේම ජනාධිපති ධූරයේ යම් යම් අත්නෝමතික බලතල තිබෙනවා. ඒව වෙනස් කරන්න ඕනි. ඒ නිසා අපේ මතය වන්නේ විධායක ජනාධිපති ක්‍රමය මේ රටට අවශ්‍යයි. ඒ රැකගත යුතුයි. මේ 78 ව්‍යවස්ථාවේ තියෙන අඩුපාඩු සංශෝධනය කරලා විධායක ජනාධිපති ක්‍රමය ප්‍රතිසංස්කරණයට ලක් කිරීම තමයි සිද්ධ විය යුත්තේ. මහින්ද රාජපක්ෂ මැතිතුමාගේ 2010 මැතිවරණ ප්‍රකාශනයේ, 2015 ජනවාරි ජනාධිපතිවරණ මැතිවරණ ප්‍රකාශනයේ, 2015 අගෝස්තු පාර්ලිමේන්තු මැතිවරණ ප්‍රකාශනයේ, මේ සියල්ලෙම තියෙන්නේ විධායක ජනාධිපති ක්‍රමය අහෝසි කරන්න කියලා නෙවෙයි, විධායක ජනාධිපති ක්‍රමය සුදුසු පරිදි සංශෝධනයට ලක් කරන්න කියන කාරණේ. අපි එදත් හිටියේ ස්ථාවරේ, අදත් ඉන්නේ ස්ථාවරේ. ඒ ස්ථාවරේ කිසි මොහොතක අපි වෙනස් කරලා නැහැ. ඒ වගේම අපි සිහිපත් කරන්න ඕනි, ගරු කථානායකතුමනි, මගේ මේ කාලයේ අවසන් නිසා මම මේක කෙටියෙන් කියනවා, විධායක ජනාධිපති ක්‍රමය ජනප්‍රිය වෙලා තියෙන්නේ ඇයි කියන එක. බලය වෙන් කිරීම කියන න්‍යාය, ඩොක්ටරින් ඔෆ් සෙපරේෂන් ඔෆ් පවර්ස්, විධායක ව්‍යවස්ථාදායක සහ අධිකරණය කියන එක වෙන වෙනම ස්වාධීන ආයතන තුනක් වෙන්න ඕනි. දැන් ඇමරිකාව වගේ රටවල පූර්ණ ජනාධිපති ක්‍රමයේ ක්‍රියාත්මක වෙද්දී සැබවින්ම වෙන් කරලා තියෙනවා. අපේ රටේ විධායක ජනාධිපතිවරයා ස්වාධීනව පත් වෙන නිසා පාර්ලිමේන්තුව පාලනය කිරීමේ හැකියාවක් තියෙනවා. ඒ පාලනය කිරීම අවශ්‍යයි. පාර්ලිමේන්තුව ඉස්රෝ ඇරීමේ ජනතා ජනාධිපතිවරයාට බලය ලබා දීලා තියෙන්නේ. පාර්ලිමේන්තුව දේශද්‍රෝහි වෙනවා නම්, පාර්ලිමේන්තුව ජනවරමට පටහැනිව ක්‍රියාත්මක වෙනවා නම් විසුරුව ඇරීමේ බලය ජනාධිපතිතුමාට තිබෙන්න ඕනි. විසුරුව ඇරියම මන්ත්‍රීවරු යන්නේ ආපහු ජනතාව ළඟට. ජනාධිපතිතුමා ගත්ත තීන්දුව වැරදි නම් ආණ්ඩුව කරගෙන ගිය ජනතාවට උවමනා දේ නම්, ආණ්ඩුව කරගෙන ගිය වැඩපිළිවෙල පිළිබඳ ජනතාව සතුටුයි නම් ජනතාව මොකද කරන්නේ? හිටපු අගමැතිතුමා ඇතුළු ආණ්ඩුවට තිබ්බටත් වඩා ලොකු ජනවරමක් දීලා පත් කරලා එවනවා. මේ රටේ ජනාධිපතිවරු දෙවරක් පාර්ලිමේන්තුවෙන් විසුරු ඇරියා. චන්ද්‍රිකා මැතිණිය 2000 සන්දාන ආණ්ඩුව විසුරු ඇරියා. ජනතාව තීරණය කළා, ඔව් හරි මේ ආණ්ඩුව ගෙදර යා යුතුයි කියලා එක්සත් ජාතික පක්ෂයට බලය දුන්නා. චන්ද්‍රිකා මැතිණිය නැවත වතාවක් 2004 පාර්ලිමේන්තුව විසුරු ඇරියා. ජනතාව තීන්දුව හරි අපිටත් ආණ්ඩුව එපා වෙලා හිටියේ කියලා ඒ ආණ්ඩුව ගෙදර යවලා එක්සත් ජනතා නිදහස් සන්ධානයට බලය දුන්නා. ඒ නිසා ජනාධිපතිවරු මේ බලය පාවිච්චි කරපු සෑම අවස්ථාවකම පාවිච්චි කිරීම ජනතාව විසින් අනුමත කරලා ජනාධිපතිට තිබිය යුතු නිවැරදිව තීන්දුව ගන්න බලයක් විදියටයි ඓතිහාසිකව ඔප්පු කරලා තියෙන්නේ. ගරු මූලාසනාරූඪ මන්ත්‍රීතුමනි, මේ රටේ ප්‍රධාන විපක්ෂය, මන්ත්‍රි ධුර 97ක් ඉන්න විපක්ෂය කතා කරන්න වෙන් කළ තිබේ සමස්ත පැය තුනක විවාදේ විනාඩි 10ක්, ඒ වගේ මගේ සහෝදර මන්ත්‍රීතුමාට විනාඩි 5යි විනාඩි 15ක් වීම ගැන අපි අතිශයින්ම කනගාටුවත් කලකිරීමත් ප්‍රකාශයට පත් කරමින් විධායක ජනාධිපති ක්‍රමය සංශෝධනය කර පවත්වා ගැනීම ජාතික අවශ්‍යතාවයක් කියන එක සිහිපත් කරමින් නියඳ වෙනවා.